Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now on a holiday weekend Saturday on 94 WIP. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. All right, it is a pleasure to be joined by the man who covers a team that's up to a lot these days, the Philadelphia 76ers, Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you been, man?
We're all right. Nice to talk to you. So I'm going to start just with this. How much better are the Sixers today than they were when the playoffs ended? Or a week ago, I guess.
You know, I think they're a little better. I mean, I do. I think that the main thing is, more so than being better, they're tougher. You know, I mean, they have toughness. But, I mean, when we look at it, you know, P.J. Tucker is a guy, he's a brute, he demands a lot of respect. You know, he's a role player, but he's a guy who, you know, a lot of great players want to play off of. My question is, when you talk about the 76ers, especially moving forward, it's like, but who's going to be your three that you can depend on? Who's going to get shots, right? I mean, I know right now you have Tobias Harris, will probably slide down to that position. But I also think you need some guys who are going to come off the bench and get buckets and do some things that's consistently. But they need a couple more glue guys. So when you look at the 76ers team, even though they do have P.J. Tucker, even though they went out there and got the other two guys, you know, in order for them to win, two things have to happen. Joel Embiid has to continue to play at a high rate. He has to continue to be healthy. And to be honest with you, you know, James Harden has to come back in better condition. And James Harden has to prove that it was the hamstring and it wasn't Father Time that slowed his play. So it's all about Embiid and it's all about Harden.
Yeah. Keith, is P.J. Tucker now a 76er more so because he was formerly acquired by Daryl Morey and had good years down in Houston, and they have a relationship, or the fact that Joel Embiid mentioned him by name after they were eliminated in the playoffs, not only talking about the need for more toughness with the 76ers, but specifically pointing out P.J. Tucker, who was a reason why they came up short on the tough end against the Heat this year in the playoffs, which is more a reason why Tucker is now a 76er?
You know, I think the Embiid part was the one, I guess, like the icing on the cake, so to speak. You know, I think that if you're Daryl Morey, you look at P.J. Tucker, you look at how he, you know, he fits well with James Harden or how he was able to play off of Harden. But then when Embiid comes out and says what he says, and it's like, whoa, we really got to go get this guy. Because, you know, in the past, what happens is you got one star player, and like Harden and P.J. was there with him when Harden had his most successful year. You know, typically the other star player, being Embiid, really doesn't want to play with that guy sometimes, right? It's like, yo, what are you doing? This is my team. But I think that when Embiid comes out and says what he said, yeah, it kind of sort of, you know, put in the four-court press, you know, because this is a guy that both of these guys want to play with. A guy who can bring the toughness. But, you know, when you look at it, and the reason why I'm saying Daryl Morey with the Houston thing and everything is because if you look at it, all the guys who they came were Houston Rockets or D'Anthony Melton. He was drafted by the Houston Rockets. So these are all guys that Daryl is familiar with.
Keith Pompey is our guest beat writer, Sixers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can follow Keith on Twitter at Pompey, P-O-M-P-E-Y, on Sixers. All right, this is an either-or question. As we know, James Harden decided to not force the Sixers to take his contract for next year, and he's going to negotiate a deal at lesser amount per year, presumably about 3 years. So, Keith Pompey, James Harden, philanthropist and great human being or smart businessman?
I think he's a smart businessman. I mean, you know, I mean, I think he is. I mean, now, again, because, I honestly think that when you look at this, I mean, let's say even if James takes 4 years, right? I mean, there are going to be certain people like, man, he's taking four. But when you look at it, you know, we can't fool ourselves. And, yes, he did help the team out. But at the same time, he's going to get more money probably on the back end. I mean, there was people saying, okay, he'll take this 47, he'll opt in, he'll get a two-year deal. But let's just say, I mean, a two-year extension, right? But let's just say if he, you know, he takes less money, but let's just say if he signs for 4 years. Or, you know, they can extend him or whatever. You know, it's just one of those things where when we look at it, yes, there's going to be probably a difference in the money, but is it going to be that much of a difference when you factor in 3 years, 4 years? You know what I mean? And then there's some other things you can do. And let's face it, it also gives them goodwill in the city because there are people like, man, you got to get rid of them. People last we saw was him struggling and some people questioning his effort
yep.
in the playoff series. And now all of a sudden everybody's saying he's one of us now. He's trying to make us better. So, you know, to me, yes, it was a good gesture, but he's also a smart businessman. And he brought a lot of people who didn't want him to return excited of for the future now.
Keith, to really understand the way the salary cap works in the NBA, I think you have to take a master class at a major university to be able to understand all the ins and outs and nuances of it. I think I understand most, but I can guarantee you I don't understand all. But then there's other rules that I had no idea even existed. When did this designated rookie, you can only have two guys on that type of a contract rule come into play in the NBA? Because that will have an direct effect on where Kevin Durant can or can't be traded to.
Yeah, and I wish I had the answer to that one because you're right. There are a lot of rules that they change. It's funny. Like, it seems like one team will take advantage of something and do a lot of wiggle room and do things, and all of a sudden, well, you can't do that anymore. Yeah, that will factor in. I mean, but I kind of think that, you know, right now, like the thing about Kevin Durant is, I know a lot of people are saying, okay, they got this rule, they got that rule. Well, at the end of the day, a team would be foolish to trade for Kevin Durant if they know he doesn't in his heart want to be there. And I think, you know, right now, the stuff that's coming out is he wants to be in Phoenix or he would love to be in Miami if it's not Phoenix. And I think that, you know, I hate to say it, like after what happened with Ben Simmons and after how James Harden planned his exit out of Brooklyn and you see the Kyrie stuff, like a team would not want to trade for Kevin Durant knowing that the guy doesn't want to be there and it will turn into a circus. I mean, that's a lot of money we're talking about. So I understand, like, you know, everybody's saying he probably can't go to Miami because of that with the Bam situation, right? But, you know, I do think there are some ways around it. And I also believe that, you know, ultimately that's not going to be the deciding factor, how that goes, how that shapes up. But I do believe that, you know, I wouldn't be shocked, just put it this way, if he ends up in Phoenix.
But you would be shocked if he ends up here.
You know, the thing about here is I just don't know if the 76ers have the assets. Now, here's the one thing you can say. You can say, you go to Brooklyn, Sean Marks can say, all right, we'll take James Harden back. But James Harden, like, basically, you know, won it out last year. And then you're going to welcome him back, right? But outside of that, I mean, you can have a package of Maxey. You can have a pack include Tobias Harris and Matisse Thybulle in there, right? But I don't know, like, when you get a guy like James Harden that certain teams aren't going to offer, you know, players of equal value and probably draft picks or have better players, a better package player and draft picks. I mean, you look at the Sixers, you know, they don't have a lot of picks. I mean, they would have to lump another team in. So while I think that it would be a perfect fit for him, you know, I don't know. I wonder, A, if him and Harden could get past what it was, you know, if they could get that big three, and it would be a great big three of Harden, KD, and Embiid. But I just think that these teams, and you see it, a lot of teams are making these trades and getting 3 and 4 first-round picks. And I think that some of these teams
or a lot of these teams are going to go to Brooklyn and say, look, we have the players, but we also have the picks if you want it.
Right.
So I think the Sixers just don't have enough. But you never know what happens, right?
Yep.
If you let me ask you about the other two Rocket guys that have been added. P.J. Tucker is the biggest and most important, but Daniel House and also Trevelyan Queen, who's been a G League star but hasn't really made any kind of impact on the NBA. It does look on paper like Daryl Morey is just grabbing every single ex-Rocket player that he can possibly get his hand on. In your estimation, are these guys who could actually fill roles on the 76ers this upcoming year and give them more bench strength?
You know, I think the thing about Queen is one of those guys, like, you know, he's here in the summer league in Utah. He's going to play. And I think it's one of those, okay, we're going to give him a chance to see what he can do. But you know, when you look at him, you'll say, okay, but does he move the needle? Is he going to be someone that we're saying, okay, the Sixers got better? No, you're not going to say that. Like, you know, he could be, you know, he has a two-year deal, $300,000 of it is guaranteed. So that's one of those things where he could spend some time in the G League. But, I mean, as far as I think that when we go back and you think about Daryl Morey, like Robert Covington was one of the guys that was one of his finds. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they waived him and, you know, he became a 76er. And I think that what you do is you get these guys who you think may be a diamond in the rough, and you put them in situations. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, all you lost was $300,000.
Yeah, so but it's got to be that Doc Rivers is willing to play and develop a guy, which exactly. I felt last year was not something that Doc Rivers is interested in.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? That's the problem, right? So the problem that they have to have.
Yeah.
So you know, he you know, I'm looking at him as maybe. I mean, at best, he can surprise some people and be, you know, a rotation player. But for the most part, I'm looking at him as a, you know, end of the bench type of guy, maybe, right? But who knows? Now the guy Eddie House, he kind of like intrigued me a little bit because he started out that same type of guy, but I don't know if Eddie House is like the move the needle type of guy either. You know, like I know he brings that toughness. You know, he shot the ball extremely well in Utah. I mean, he shot 41.7% from three. But then in the playoffs, he shot 2 for 10. And the thing about it is like, you know, I think the Sixers, they're on this stage now that, you know, you got to get guys who can help you in the playoffs. You know, like George Niang, I love him to death. You know, he struggled in the postseason. Some of it could have been the injury. But what that does is, like, right now, you know, I think that, like, we can't get blinded at what people do in a regular season and their roles is all about postseason. And
yep.
To me, Eddie House has to show people that he can do it in the postseason.
All right, one last one for me. Jody may have one more. There is talk that they may trade for yet another Houston Rocket, Eric Gordon. I don't know what they would trade for Eric Gordon, but do you foresee that, and what would he bring?
Yeah, I was shocked that they didn't get a deal done on draft night for Eddie Gordon. They tried to. They wanted to ship Matisse to a third team. And then what that would have done is that would have, you know, of course, there would be some other packages in there. But the third team would have sent some stuff to Houston. And then Eric would have been here. Eric Gordon would have been here. The thing about Eric Gordon, he's kind of like, a little bit of the Danny Green mode, maybe, a, you know, younger and a little bit better shape, meaning like, you know, Danny had the injuries the last 2 years. This guy's been injured too, but, you know, he's a quality shooter. He's a good defender. But he could also be someone who can come off the bench and he could fulfill that role that Doc Rivers has always had, where he had a guy who could be aggressive, knock down shots, play D, you know, be that, you know, one of the league-leading six men. Now, the thing is, with him being 33 years old, and you look at, you know, all these other guys who are up in age, you know, getting him just tells me that, you know, the Sixers have a plan to, like, win a championship within the next 2 years. They're just putting all the chips at the table
yeah.
to win a championship. I like him, but I'm of the belief that Matisse Thybulle is going to get better, and I'm of the belief that if the Sixers get rid of him prematurely, it could end up turning around and bite them in the butt, so to speak. So, you know, I don't really – I like this guy, but I also think that – I mean, I guess I might be in the minority, but I do believe that Matisse Thybulle is going to develop into being a, you know, a great player.
You and I are in that minority together. I'm tentative on wanting to trade Matisse Thybulle. I still believe in his offensive upside. Last one for me, Keith. Other teams. Yeah, we care about the 76ers and scrutinize every single move they make, but they compete against everyone else in the NBA. Anyone do a specifically good job in your eyes since free agency kicked in 2 days ago that you said, oh, damn, and the Sixers got to compete with them, trade, free agent signing, anybody else wow you with their moves here out of the game?
You know, not really wow me. You know, the thing that's really – because the thing that really – let me go the opposite. I'm going to go the opposite of wow. The thing that's really getting me right now is what's happening in – And Golden State. You know, like, I know they had the core players, right? And they were injured the last couple of years, but it seemed like they were grooming a lot of these young guys, you know, like Gary Payton and you know, a couple of the other ones. And it just seems like they're all leaving. They're all getting a payday. And you know, to me, when you have their rights and you have their bird rights and you do certain things, it seems like I know these other guys are the superstars, but as we have Joel Embiid, we realize that you just a superstar isn't going to win you a championship, right? You need these role type of players. So the fact that they're losing these guys, to me, that's like, wow, he's going here. Like, he's not coming back. That's the thing that's really wilding me. You know, the one thing I'm realizing now is that, you know, here's a guy, and let's talk about the Washington Wizards, for instance. You know, Bradley Beal, a lot of people were getting excited thinking that he would go somewhere.
Yeah.
But it just tells me right now that a lot of these players in the NBA is all of winning a championship is something you want to do right before you retire with most of them. Like, a lot of them want to get paid. They want to score a lot of points. They want to do whatever they can because that enables them to make the all-star team because people look at statistics and their name is out there. But then that enables them to get another contract. And then when it's like their tail end of their career, then it's like, hey, I think I want to join the Lakers or someone so I can take a minimum deal and get a championship. So to me, if you look at a lot of these moves, they were all about players getting paid more so than fitting in with a team to win a championship.
Well, there you go. Keith Pompey, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Enjoy your 4th of July.
Hey, and same to you guys and your family.
All right, there you go.
Thanks, Keith.
Be well, Keith. The last point he made I thought was a good point, which is the end.